every season of your life, in the good times, in the bad times, in the easy times, in the hard times, when you're down in the valley of the shadow of death, when you're down in the valley of weeping, and when you're up on the mountaintops in the presence and the glory of God, in every single season, you can bear fruit. It doesn't matter. In the natural, you can usually only bear fruit maybe once a year, but in the spirit, you can constantly be bearing fruit. How? By meditating on the word day and night. The Lord was telling him, don't stay focused on the obstacles. Stay focused on the problems that are in front of you. Don't look at your enemies. Don't look at the thick walled cities. Don't look at the giants, but stay focused on my word. Meditate on the word day and night. I believe that God wants to release here some boldness. He wants to release some courage into our lives. Why? Because we are in need of boldness. We are in need of courage in this season that we are going into. We need a lot of boldness, a lot of courage. Well, one of my favorite passages of scripture, it's 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 6 and 7. It says there, fan into flames, or stir up, or re-enkindle again the gift of God that's inside of you through the laying on of my hands. Because God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. So the first part there, it says, stir up, fan into flames. The actual word in Greek that is used there is enkindle again. That's not talking about like Kindle that you read from, like the Kindle Voyager or the Kindle Traveler. No, it's talking about kindling, like kindling that you would put on a fire. If the fire was dying down, if you'd only have coals left, you'd have to put some very dry wood. Actually, in our other church in the town 45 minutes away, I just, for probably the first time in my life, had to light a fire there. And so I got to see firsthand what that's like. You got to put some very dry, small pieces of wood first, and you light them on fire. That's the kindling. And then you can put bigger logs on it until it becomes this big blazing fire. And what Paul was telling Timothy there is, you need to stir up. You need to fan into flames. You need to put kindling on the fire of the gifts of the Spirit that are in your life. God has given each of us gifts and talents, and it can be really easy for us to hide them. Like in the story of the talents, there was the one slave who took the talent and dug a hole in the ground and hid it. Why did he say that he did that? Because he was afraid. He said to the master, I know how cruel you can be and how mean you can be. That wasn't something he should be saying to his boss. But anyway, and I was afraid. So I just dug a hole in the ground and I hid the talent there, and here's the talent back for you. And what did the master say? He said, wicked and lazy slave. You could have at least put it in the bank and you could have gotten back more money than if you dug a hole in the ground and hid it there. But there are gifts and talents that God has given to each one of us. And some of us, we hide those gifts. We hide those talents. We hide those abilities. And the main reason why is because of fear. But God is saying to you tonight, stir it up, fan it into flames, put some kindling on that fire that's in your life until it becomes a big blazing fire inside of you. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:1, he said, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you might prophesy. That word eagerly desire, it means desire them. And it says it even better in the Romanian Bible. What it says there is, desire spiritual gifts with like flames of passion. Desire it in a fiery way. Be on fire for spiritual gifts. Be on fire for God to use whatever gifts, whatever talents that He's put inside of your life. What is the best is in a church where every single person is using their gifts and their talents for the betterment of all, to be a blessing to everyone else who's around us. Because what the devil would try to do is to bring fear to us, to bring intimidation in us, for us to hide those gifts, to hide those abilities that God has given to us. But then Paul says, for God has not given you a spirit of fear or a spirit of timidity, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. So here there's a contrast between two spirits. There's the spirit of fear, spirit of intimidation, and then there's another spirit. Who is that other spirit? That other spirit is the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is described as a spirit of love, a spirit of power, and a spirit of soundness of mind. We have a choice to make. Are we going to be walking in a spirit of fear, spirit of intimidation, or are we going to be walking in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, spirit of love, of power, a sound mind? Paul said in another place, David said, I believed in God, therefore I spoke. We therefore, with the same spirit of faith, believe in God, therefore we speak. When you believe in God, you got to say something. You got to shout it out when you believe in God. When you have faith, it requires verbal expression coming for us when we have that spirit of faith inside of us. Joshua and Caleb, they were of a different spirit. It says that they were of a different spirit. What was the different spirit that they were of? They were of a spirit of faith. When the other 10 spies were trembling in their boots, when their knees were knocking together, they were saying, oh, they have thick walled cities. There are giants in the land, and there's no way that we can do it. Joshua and Caleb, they said, yeah, everything they said is true. But we are more than able because God is with us. What makes all the difference between fear and faith? It's knowing that God is with you. It's His presence with you. Joshua and Caleb, they were of a different spirit. Will you be a people of a different spirit? Will you be a people who are full of boldness and of courage? A people who walk in the spirit of faith? Because that's the choice we have to make. A spirit of fear and an intimidation, or a spirit of love and a power and a sound mind. When I was about 8 years old, I had terrible nightmares every single night. I would go to bed and I would wake up from having these dreams. They're awful. I was afraid just to go to bed at night. That's how bad it was getting. I would end up in my parents' room. I'd go in and I'd say, can I sleep on your floor? I had another bad dream. This went on for about a year. And my dad, his name's Bill Norton. I believe he's been here too. We call him Papa Bill. One day he got fed up and he said, I'm going to pray for you and those bad dreams are going to stop. So he laid hands on me. He rebuked that spirit of fear that was tormenting me. And instantly, I had no more bad dreams. I went to bed that night with so much peace. I was like, I just know I'm not going to have those bad dreams. And I never had those bad dreams again. God delivered me from a spirit of fear. Then I used to be very fearful of people. I was very intimidated. Like when I was in high school, a lot of times I wouldn't even look people in the eyes. I didn't feel freedom to go and have conversations with people. I didn't get to meet even too many new people in my high school because it was like a spirit of intimidation. But a prophet came to our church and he called me out and began to prophesy to me. He prophesied basically 2 pages long, single space, typed out on the computer, perfectly described my whole personality. Everyone who heard this word that he was giving me began laughing hysterically because they knew it was a right on word. But one of the things that he was saying was, you know, back then they had these t-shirts that were really popular for teenagers. This was a while ago. That said no fear on them. Does anyone remember the no fear t-shirts? And he said, brother, I just see you like those shirts say no fear. You do not have fear in your heart. And you will inspire courage in the lives of other people. When he prophesied that to me, I knew that was a word from the Lord. And I said, that is how I am. I do not have fear in my heart. I inspire courage in other people. And I began to see myself that way. And the Lord began to set me free from that intimidation. But there's a period of about 3 months where I was being harassed by the enemy. It was a terrible attack of the devil that came against me. That for about 3 months I had obsessive thoughts. What if there is no God? I had like atheistic thoughts that were coming against me. And I was afraid of death. And it was so bad that I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. And I was reading through the scripture and I got to this verse where it says, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love and a power and a sound mind. And I grabbed a hold of that verse and I said, God has not given me fear. And I started to speak that scripture over myself every single day. Even if I had to say it 1,000 times a day, I would say it 1,000 times a day. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love and a power and a sound mind. I kept speaking it over and over again. And over a course of about a month, I got a lot better. But that one day, a good friend of mine, a lady came and she put her hand on my back and she said, do you think, David, maybe it's been a spirit of fear that's been harassing you this time? I was like, I don't think so, but who knows? And she just put her hand on my back and she said, if there's any spirit of fear there, I just pray that that spirit of fear would leave him right now. And when she said that, I felt like something came up from inside my stomach and my face got all contorted. I felt it go out from me and that spirit of fear was broken off of my life. So I can say with a lot of confidence, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love and a power and a sound mind. And the enemy tries to attack us many times with fear, with intimidation, but do not let him, because God is with us. We are more than able. We are more than conquerors because he is with us. So he has given us a spirit of love. The spirit of love. In 1 John chapter 4, it says that perfect love casts out all fear. In Romans chapter 8, it says, not only so in verse 23, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoptions as sons, the redemption of our bodies. And in verse 15, the spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you receive brought about your adoption and sonship. And by him, we cry out, Abba, Father. You have received a spirit of sonship, a spirit of adoption, so that you will no longer be a slave to fear ever again. And it's that Holy Spirit inside of you that's crying out continually, Abba, Father, dear Daddy. That is the cry of the Spirit inside of you. It says in Galatians chapter 4 in verse 5 and 6, to redeem all of those who are under the law, that we might receive our adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit in you lets you know that you are a son, that you are a daughter of God, that you have received his adoption. You are no longer a slave to fear, but you are a son. You are a daughter of God. And the Holy Spirit sheds abroad in our hearts the love of God, the love of the Father. How can you know that you are loved? Because you have received the Spirit that comes from God that lets you know that you never will be controlled by fear again. Never again. How great is the love that the Father has for us, that we should be called children of God. And that's what we are. And it's that spirit of adoption. It's the spirit of love inside of us that lets us know we belong to God and we will never live under fear again. Perfect love casts out all fear. Fear has to leave where love is. His love drives out the power of fear. You no longer have to be afraid because love has set you free from fear. It's also a spirit of power. It gives you power to live a new life. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, in verse 8, he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and also in Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. You will be my witnesses. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. That is the same Spirit that calls everything that we see and everything that we know to be created. It is the power of God. Jesus, when he sent out his disciples in Luke chapter 9, in verse 1 and 2, it says, Jesus called his 12 together and he gave them power and authority to heal all kinds of sicknesses and to cast out all demons. And he sent them out to preach the good news of the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Sometimes people ask me, are you scared of demons? No, never. Like if there's one kind of movie that would never scare me, it's a horror movie about exorcisms and demons and stuff like that. Because the Lord has made them to be in one place and one place only. And that is underneath our feet. They are defeated in Jesus' name. Greater is he who's inside of you than he who lives in the world. There is an overcoming power. There is a victorious power inside of you. You have received the Spirit of power. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of power. What an amazing power. It says also in Romans 8, if the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he will quicken your mortal bodies by that same Spirit. By that same Spirit, he will quicken your mortal bodies. The Spirit of resurrection, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of power is dwelling inside of you. And thirdly, it says he's given you a spirit of a sound mind. Do you know Paul said, the mind that's controlled by the Holy Spirit is life and peace. How many of you would like to have minds that are full of life and peace? That is a mind that is controlled by the Holy Spirit. It's full of God's life. It's full of God's peace. It says that we should think on things that are above, whatever is true, honorable, right, whatever is pure, lovely, admirable, whatever is excellent, worthy of praise. Think on these things. I believe that depression does not come from God. How many of you believe that? Depression does not come from God. He has turned our mourning into dancing, and he has turned our sorrow into joy. He wants to set people free of all depression, and he wants to give you the joy of the Lord, which will be your strength. My mother-in-law, let me go back even further than that. My wife's grandfather, he was a prisoner of war in Siberia. When he came back from Siberia, he completely lost his mind. And he was insane for about 12 years before he passed away. He was in a mental institution. One time when we came to America, we got a call from back home that my mother-in-law was not doing well at all. That she was in a terrible depression. And that they had brought her to a mental institution. So when we went back from the States to Romania, one of the first things we did is we got in the car, we drove out to go and visit her. And my mother-in-law, she grew up Orthodox. So that was all that she had ever known. She had never given her heart to Jesus. But she goes every week to Orthodox church there, but she wasn't born again. When we went to the mental institution, she was seeing all kinds of things. She was very disturbed. She was like in a constant state of panic, anxiety, and fear. And we started to share with her about the Lord, sharing the gospel with her. And we prayed with her in the mental institution for her to give her heart to Jesus. She was born again there. Hallelujah. And we laid our hands on her and prayed against that spirit of fear that had been tormenting her and said, be free in the name of Jesus. We left, and within a few days, she was so much better that they released her to go home. Hallelujah. And she came back to her right mind. She was restored. That is the spirit of a sound mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and a power and a sound mind. The spirit that God gives us, the Holy Spirit, he will never produce fear or intimidation in our lives. No, he will release boldness. He will release courage. He will release overcoming to us. And he is the spirit of love, the spirit of power, and the spirit of a sound mind. And that's what God wants to give to each and every one of us. I find it interesting that many times Jesus would do things in such a way that it would bring people's issues up to the surface and make them confront their fears. Have you ever noticed that? Like the sinful woman, she was probably had lived in prostitution before that. She'd been abused and misused by men her whole life. And what does she have to do when she comes with her alabaster box? She comes in a room full of men. And they're all judging her, looking down on her, even talking about her behind her back. It was just like everything being repeated over again. But she ignores them all. And she comes straight to the feet of Jesus and she breaks her box, pours it out over his feet, and begins to wipe his feet with her hair. Wipes it with her tears and cleans his feet and brings this beautiful act of worship before him. And Jesus said, leave her alone. She has done a beautiful thing for me. To him who's been forgiven much loves much. But to be able to come into that place of worship, into that place of intimacy with Jesus, she had a lot of fears, a lot of baggage that she had to overcome. Like Jesus, he called a number of his disciples were fishermen. But when he calls them, so many of the miracles that he did for them was all about fish. Did you ever think about that before? So many of the miracles Jesus did was about fish. So, for example, when he, in Luke chapter 5, in verse 1, it talks about the Sea of Galilee there, but there's four different words in scriptures that are used for the Sea of Galilee. And the particular word that is used there, it is the only time in the whole Bible that is used. And it is the name Gennesaret. And that word Gennesaret has a really interesting meaning in the original language in Greek. What Gennesaret means is no controversy. No controversy. And it was in the place of no controversy that Jesus gets in the boat with his disciples and they push off from the shore and he begins to preach and to teach the crowd. He turns and he says, did you guys catch anything last night? And Peter said, no, we were fishing all night and we didn't catch anything. And Jesus said, cast your nets on the other side of the boat. So Peter said, well, we've already washed our nets, but nevertheless, at your word. So he grabs the nets, he throws them on the other side, and there was such a miraculous catch of fish that they needed to call for other boats who were nearby to come and help them pull them in, because otherwise they would have begun to sink. And I believe that God wants to release here in El Dorado, and specifically here at Victory Church, such a supernatural harvest. But do you know where that harvest is going to come? It's going to come in the place called no controversy, in a place where there is unity, in a place where there is oneness, in a place where there is no gossip, no conflict, no bickering, none of those silly things that the enemy uses to bring division among us. There will be such a great harvest that we won't even be able to pull in the nets by ourselves. We'll need to call for some other boats to come and help us. Come and grab a hold of this. How about the story of the little boy who brings his lunch for Jesus? Well, Jesus first leans over to his disciples and he says to them, when they're bringing us up, they said, look, they're hungry. They've been already with you for a few days. Send them home. And otherwise they may faint on the way. It could be bad for them. And Jesus says, you guys give them something to eat. Philip starts doing all the calculations. He's like, even if we would work for 6 months, we wouldn't have enough money to give each of them a little bit. And then Andrew comes and he says, well, there's a little boy here. And he has some bread and some fish. But what is that about so many? Sometimes it's better just to stop when you're ahead. You know what I'm saying? Like if he would have just stopped after he said, here's some bread and some fish. There you go, Jesus. But no, he said, but what is that among so many? Oh, Andrew blew it too. But that little boy, he brought his lunch for Jesus. Maybe he thought that Jesus was going to eat that himself. And he thought probably, well, Jesus is after teaching and preaching to this crowd for so many days. He's probably hungry, probably hungrier than I am. So it's better for him to eat. And I'll just sacrifice my lunch for him. But because the crowd had been with him for a few days, I would just venture to say that probably that bread was pretty dried up after being in the desert sun for a few days. Probably the fish wasn't smelling the best either. But he came and he gave everything that he had to Jesus. He gave his whole lunch to him. And maybe you look at what you have to give to Jesus and you say, you also feel like, what is so little among so much? Maybe you feel overwhelmed and maybe it looks dried out. Maybe it smells bad. Maybe it looks rotten to you. But when you take whatever you have and you put it over into the hands of Jesus, look and see what he can do with it. He'll feed a whole multitude with our little leftover crumbs. He can do so much more than we could ever think to ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. But again, it was a miracle involving fish because he was challenging his disciples. When he said to them, you give them something to eat. You say that to a fisherman. You give them some bread and some fish when they know they don't have enough bread and fish. And they know probably better than anyone else how much that fish was worth, at least how much that fish cost. Or when Jesus sent his disciples on ahead of him, and he went up on a mountaintop to pray. And there came such a bad storm that the wind was blowing violently. The waves were going up over their heads, over their boat. And they already were fighting against the wind and the waves. And it was a terrible situation for them to be in. Fishermen's greatest fear is that he would drown in a storm. And they had a superstition that they believed that if you would see a ghost walking on the water, that is the ghost of a fisherman who had died in another earlier storm. And that meant that you were going to be the next to go. So they see Jesus walking on the water and they cry out. Why did they cry out? They were terrified out of their minds. They thought they were seeing a ghost of somebody who had died in a past storm. And they thought that they were going to be the next. They screamed. But Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. It is I. Peter said, Lord, if it's really you, he was testing him now. If it's really you, Lord, call me to walk on the water to you. And Jesus said one word, come. One word from the Lord is enough for you to step out of the boat and begin to walk on water by faith. I'd rather be on the water with Jesus than alone in the boat. I'd rather be anywhere close to where Jesus is. But Peter, he starts looking at the wind and the waves and he begins to sink down. He cries out and said, Lord, save me. And the Lord came and he pulled him up out of the waters and helped him up. And he when they get back in the boat, all the others, they start worshiping Jesus. And he had kind of rebuked Peter and said, oh, you have little faith. Man, Peter's one of the only guys in history to ever walk on water. But even Jesus said, you have little faith. He was calling him up to higher levels of faith. God puts us oftentimes in situations and circumstances where our fears come up to the surface. Maybe it's in a church sitting where maybe we've been burned in another church in the past and something happens that feels similar to what went on back then. And it's like all of a sudden, all of this stuff comes up to the surface in our lives. Or sometimes in marriages, it happens that something goes on, something happens. And it's like, all these fears come up to the surface. Oh no, is it happening again? But in those times, how will we respond? Will we respond in the spirit of fear and of intimidation? Or will we respond in the spirit that God gives us, the Holy Spirit, the spirit of faith, the spirit of love, the spirit of power, and the spirit of a sound mind? That's the Holy Spirit. We did a prophetic school the whole month of July. We had different professors coming in almost every week. And we had different people who came and set that whole month aside to be trained in the prophetic, to learn about prophetic ministry. It was awesome. But there was a couple that came for the school. They had been at their doctor. They had a lady who was their gynecologist, a Christian lady. And she had done a sonogram on her. And she said, it's really a bad situation. Your baby has only one kidney. And in the place of the other kidney, this baby has a tumor. And the tumor is about as big as the whole rest of the baby. It was really bad. The doctor said, well, what we can do is after you give birth, we'll do an emergency surgery and we'll remove that tumor from the baby, but it will have to live its whole life just with one kidney. They came to the school, and my wife went together with one of the teachers from the school, and they laid hands on them. My wife said that she felt like a bolt of lightning go through her hand when she put her hand on them. But they didn't pray at all for her to be healed or for the baby to be healed. And afterwards, when they went back to their seats, the man was thinking to himself, I wonder why they didn't pray at all for healing or for the baby or anything. But he said, well, we've been learning at this school all about how God wants to use us in healing, how God wants to use us in doing miracles. He said, well, let's give it a try. So he comes to his wife and he puts his hand on her stomach, and he felt very strong heat, almost like fire coming and filling his hand. And she felt the same thing coming and filling her belly. They went the next morning back to their doctor. And she did another sonogram on her. And on the second sonogram, she said, that tumor has shrunk down so much that it is almost completely gone. And your baby has a kidney where it had no kidney before. The doctor took the before and after sonogram and started going through the whole hospital, showing it to all of the other doctors. She was saying, look at this, look at this. And even doctors who weren't Christians were saying, this is a miracle from God, when they saw what God had done for that baby. And that woman about 3 weeks ago gave birth, and her baby was completely normal when it was born. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I remember at the same evening, that was on a Thursday evening, and that same evening, there was a woman who had four children who came, and she wasn't very rich, she wasn't very well-to-do, but she came to almost all of the meetings at the school together with all four of her children. And while we were praying for the sick that night on Thursday evening, she was focused more on her older son. I'm praying for him because he had some problems in his mind. But her younger son's name, David. So, of course, I remember his name. I said, what a great name that is. My name's David. But anyway, so he came up to her and he said, Mom, you know, I have problems with my back. He had scoliosis that he had for a few years, and they had just been at their doctor, and the doctor said that he was getting progressively worse with his back, that he had, you know, wrong curvature of the spine, and he had a lot of pain resulting from that. And he said, can I pray for my back, Mom? And she said, sure, go for it. So that little boy laid hands on his own back and started praying for himself. And he said that he felt like somebody took a little hammer and came and just knocked all of the vertebrae of his spine back into their right place. She took him also to their doctor the next day. And the doctor did another x-ray. And the x-ray showed that he had no scoliosis. And even that doctor had the before and after x-rays. So those were both medically documented miracles of what God had done. And sometimes we are surrounded with the scariest of circumstances. It's when you are facing the greatest giants. It's when you are facing the thickest walled cities that faith really begins to shine through. And when you can know and you can say with all of your heart, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love and a power and a sound mind. God has not given us that spirit of fear. He has given to us love, power, and a sound mind that comes by the Holy Spirit, who is the spirit of faith. We have a choice tonight. Will we walk in the spirit of fear, or will we walk in the spirit of faith? In Acts chapter 4, some very scary circumstances. The disciples, Peter and John, they had just been locked up in prison. And they were warned not to preach in the name of Jesus anymore. But they said, it is better for us to obey God than to obey man. And when they got out of the prison, they went and they met with some of the other believers. We can turn over in Acts chapter 4 together. And it says there in verse 24, and this was when they had gathered together with those believers, they said, when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves to... And the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city there was gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. What had Peter and John just gotten in trouble for? For healing a paralyzed man in the name of Jesus. So what were they praying and saying? Lord, remember what we got in trouble for. Remember what we were having problems because it was because that guy got healed, because of that miracle that happened. Do even more healings. Do even more miracles. We want even more. We don't want to just sit down and back down. We want to rise up even more in the power of the Holy Spirit. It says, stretch forth your hand to heal, causing signs, wonders, and miracles to happen because of the name of your holy servant, Jesus. God wants to stretch his hand out over El Dorado, causing signs, wonders, and miracles to happen because of the name of Jesus. What is the hand of God? It is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the hand of God. It's the power of God. Because Jesus said, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, he says in one gospel, and in another one of the gospels, he says, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then you know that the kingdom of God has arrived among you. The finger of God, the hand of God, the Spirit of God, the power of God. They said, stretch forth your hand to heal, causing signs, wonders, and miracles to happen in the name of Jesus. What heals the sick today? It is faith in the name of Jesus. Jesus is the miracle worker. And there are miracles that happen in the name of Jesus. And then they said, Lord, even with all their threats, even with everything they said they're going to do, even though they've gathered together and they're fighting together, give us more boldness to preach the word of God. Paul said, pray for me that I might preach the word with all boldness. What happened when they prayed? The whole place that they were meeting in was shaken. And they all were filled with the Holy Spirit's power. And it says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. How many of you want more boldness to speak the word of God, to proclaim his word, to preach the message of the gospel? When we were just ministering in earlier this year in the nation of Cambodia, there's about 600 pastors gathered together, and we preached a simple message of healing and prayed over the microphone for them to be healed. Is probably the greatest move of healing I've ever seen. I believe that almost every single pastor, if not every single pastor who is there, was physically healed of something. It was just like a wind of healing came through the place, and they were all healed. Because I said, who is healed? And they all lifted up their hands. They were all healed. We didn't even have time for them to all share what the Lord had done for each of them. But I said, turn to a few people and share with them what the Lord did for you now. They all felt something physically change in their body. Praise the Lord. But that evening, we were back in the hotel celebrating my father's birthday. But the main missionary lady over all of those churches there, she and her husband have started those churches there. They have about 6,000 churches that they've started. It's a revival that's shaken that whole nation. About 1 million people have become Christians there and have come and joined and become a part of their church. It's just revival. But she was preaching a message, and one of the pastors who was sitting towards the back of the room, he had had high blood pressure and problems with his heart for a long time. And while she was preaching, he fell on the ground and blood started squirting out of his nose and out of his mouth. They started screaming, the people around him, he's dead, he's dead. So she had a choice to make in that moment. Spirit of fear or spirit of faith. So she said to all of those who were sitting around him, begin to pray in the spirit right now. He had no pulse. He was not breathing at all. And the time that it took her to go from the podium back to where he was, he came back to life again, started breathing again. His pulse came back. And they have a doctor who works full time for their whole group of churches and for their organization. The doctor brought him after that to the hospital, and they did more tests on him. By 11 o'clock that night, he was completely healed. His blood pressure went down to normal. They had pictures of him going through this whole process of when he was dead with the blood and everything, and then in the hospital and after he was completely healed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What do I believe that God wants to do in El Dorado at Victory Church? He wants to bring a shaking to this place in the spirit. He wants to pour out his spirit, to stretch forth his hand to heal, causing signs, wonders, and miracles to happen because of the name of his servant Jesus. And he wants all of us to be full of boldness. It doesn't matter how big the giants are. It doesn't matter how thick the walls are. It does not matter what you are facing in your family, at the problems that have been rising up against you. It does not matter how big the wind and the waves are, how big the circumstances are, because God is speaking to us today. Be bold and be very courageous. Be bold and be very courageous. Arise in faith. Do not walk in fear any longer. Just like Jesus said, it is I. Do not be afraid. He is saying to you, it is I. I am with you. Do not be afraid. It's the presence of the Lord with us that causes us to overcome every fear, to overcome every panic that the enemy would try to throw against us. This is a day when God is saying to us that God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind, that we will no longer walk under that spirit of fear. We will no longer walk under the torment of fear, the fear of death, the fear of what the devil could do to us, the fear that used to control our lives, that we lived in slavery under, but we will move in the spirit of power, in the spirit of love, in the spirit that brings soundness to our mind, in the Holy Spirit's power and anointing, the spirit of faith. Can we give God praise here tonight? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all stand up together. Whew. Whew. How many of you believe there's mountain moving faith here tonight? That the miracle worker is in the house here tonight. Jesus wants to do miracles I believe even in some of your families, the Lord is speaking word of miracles taking place. In some of your finances, the Lord is speaking breakthrough. He's speaking miracles into your finances, that He is the Lord, your provider. And there is provision in the name of Jesus. There is provision, supernatural provision. I just believe the Lord is even going to begin opening some doors for jobs to be supernaturally provided for different people. Even people who were in need of jobs for a long time. The Lord's going to begin opening doors of His favor for you. It's going to be supernatural. You will know it's the hand of the Lord. Some of the times God just allows situations in our lives to get to the point where it's so desperate that when we finally receive that miracle, when we finally receive that breakthrough, all the glory will go to Him. He is the miracle worker. It's just faith in the name of Jesus. It's just faith in the name of Jesus. I believe there are some here tonight that the Lord wants to bring freedom in your life from every fear and every torment of fear. That you would choose faith. You would choose the path of faith over the path of fear. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but He's given you a spirit of love and a power and a sound mind. The power of the Holy Spirit is here tonight. He wants to bring even a shaking into our individual lives. And He wants to fill us with the Holy Spirit and with boldness. There's so much boldness that comes to us from the Holy Spirit. It goes beyond any natural boldness that we could have in our own human abilities and strength. It's the boldness that the Holy Spirit gives to us. I want to encourage you here tonight. God is pouring out over you a spirit of faith. Spirit of love, of power, and a sound mind. And He's breaking every spirit of fear and every spirit of intimidation. You are more than a conqueror. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even the faith that's inside of you. God is releasing so much faith into your heart. Faith to face off against any giants that you've been facing. Faith to see walls come crashing down. Faith to speak to this mountain and command it to be removed and cast into the sea, knowing that nothing will be impossible to you. Can we all just lift our hands to the Lord right now? Just lift your hands to the Lord and begin to receive from Him right now. The Holy Spirit is here. The power of God is here. His anointing is here tonight to break every yoke. Just receive that right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, we release right now the fire of God, the power of the Holy Spirit flowing all through this room in Jesus' mighty name. We thank You, Holy Spirit, Your presence, Your glory here right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Whoa, His anointing is here. The fire of God is here. I believe the Lord even wants to heal some sick people who are here tonight. If you have any physical needs, any need of physical healing in your body, just put one hand on your body right now and keep your other hand lifted up to the Lord. Just put one hand on your body and lift the other hand up to the Lord. And we're going to pray and believe the Lord to release a miracle into your body right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we take authority over every sickness, over every disease, over all the power of the enemy, and we believe that it has to leave right now in Jesus' name. Stretch forth your hand to heal, causing signs, wonders, and miracles to happen because of the name of your servant Jesus. Believe even right now, You're causing miracles to happen in Jesus' mighty name. Be healed right now. It's the power of the Lord, the power of the Spirit of God, bringing healing, bringing restoration to you. I believe the Lord's healing somebody who had like a generational curse, a generational sickness that was like a hereditary thing that was passed down. The Lord says He's breaking that off of you, and you'll have that thing no longer in the name of Jesus. I see somebody high blood pressure. The Lord is speaking to your blood pressure right now, and He's saying, be made normal in the name of Jesus. Somebody with heart problems and high blood pressure, be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, be healed right now. I saw also somebody who had some type of partial paralysis. And I believe the Lord is healing you right now of partial paralysis. Be healed. He's healing your nerves right now. It's the resurrection power of God flowing into your nerves in the mighty name of Jesus. Just receive your miracle by faith. Whatever it is that you have need of, say, I receive my miracle by faith in the name of Jesus. I see somebody has some type of growth in their body, and the Lord is causing that growth to just dissolve and go away right now in the name of Jesus. Let any cell that should not be there disappear, go away in Jesus' mighty name. Be healed. It's the power of God. It's the fire of God filling you right now in Jesus' mighty name. Be healed. Be healed. Somebody who has harassing migraine headaches, be healed in the name of Jesus. That is not your portion, and you will no longer suffer with that. In the mighty name of Jesus, be healed and be restored. Be healed and be restored in Jesus' name. There's miracles for you. Just grab a hold of it by faith right now. Say, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. I receive my miracle by faith in the name of Jesus. I believe God wants to touch you. He wants to heal you. He wants to do a miracle for you here tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. We're going to begin ministering as the Holy Spirit leads to people. And I just want to encourage you, if you needed any of these healing in your body, if you lifted your hand and said, yeah, I need a physical healing in my body. Maybe some of you already started to receive that right now, and you already are starting to feel better. But I'd just like to call you to run up here to the front, and we're going to lay hands on you and pray the prayer of faith together with you and believe for God to do amazing, miraculous things here in this place tonight. Do you believe that? Praise the Lord. There's a high level of faith here tonight. I feel it in the spirit. And the Lord's raising our faith level even up higher right now in the name of Jesus. Also, maybe there's somebody you've never received the infilling of the Holy Spirit. That's evidence with speaking in tongues, baptism of the Holy Spirit, baptism of power. You can receive that tonight so quickly and so easily. What are you receiving? You're receiving a spirit of love, of power, and a sound mind. That's the Holy Spirit. And I love to pray together with you and believe for God to fill you, to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So if you'd like to receive prayer for that, you can come up as well. Also, that word that I had about breakthroughs in families, there's going to be a lot of miracles happening this next season among family members. And that word about open doors for jobs, if you know that word's for you, I'd love to pray together with you as well for that. Also, anyone who has had real problems with fear, and I'm not just talking about little problems, but I mean real problems with fear. God wants to deliver you from a spirit of fear. He wants to give you a spirit of love and a power and a sound mind. I'd love to pray for you to be set free from any spirit of fear, even as my father prayed for me when I was just a little boy, and the Lord delivered me from that. It can be that quick and that simple, the Lord delivering you. Praise the Lord. As we're standing up here in the front tonight, let's just set our eyes on Jesus. Let's focus on Him. It's not about any person. It's all about Jesus. Jesus is the miracle worker. Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the deliverer. More important than anything else for all of you who came up here tonight is that you would encounter Jesus. You would encounter Jesus. Amen? That's the most important thing. So let's all lift our hands to the Lord, and you can begin to worship. You can begin to just seek the Lord yourself. And when I come to you, I just encourage you, if you're worshiping, if you're praying or whatever else, when I get to you, just stop whatever you're doing and just receive. Just drink it in. Because it's kind of like you can't drink water and talk at the same time. So when I come to you, I just want you to be completely receiving. Just open your spirit to the Lord and allow Him to begin to minister to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.